Colin squirmed in his seat. If only he and Ty had been able to catch the Satos men. But at the time, relief filled him. Unlike the cornstalks, the Satos would have done more than sway in the breeze. The guards would find them. Rowan took another drink of wine and grimaced as he swallowed.
What else do we have?
Marco strode forward.
Sir, we must find a way to reason with the Satos. We only have a small army of guards and a handful of knights. Some believe the Satos could number close to 1,000. We have to avoid a war.
How do you suggest we reason with them, Councilman Evans? Marcos flashed a look over to Ethan and back to Rowan.
They want Captain Mann to stand trial. Why can't we give them their trial?
The hairs rose on Colin's neck. He dug his nails into his thighs. For a moment, he wished he were a fighter, so he could pound such an idea out of Marcos's head.
Absolutely not, Eric said from behind Rowan.
He stepped around the bench looking down on Marcos.
They have no authority and will not be trying one of my men.
Marcos stepped back, and his face paled. No one talked back to Eric, not even Ethan. There was a story that he'd once been swarmed by a dozen Satos and killed every one of them. A fat councilman wouldn't intimidate him. The people in the galley grumbled, some shouting their displeasure. Marcos held up his hands.
Please, quiet down!
He glared at Eric as he waited for silence.
This is how things were done in the past. If a member of one civilization is charged for a crime by another, that person can be tried.
Not in our past. When have the Sato stood trial for the things they've done?
Rowan asked in a calm voice. Colin looked to Ethan, whose angry stare bored into Marcos. The brothers seemed to be thinking the same thing.
Then we take the fight to them!
Marcos's fat face turned deep red.
To the hills!
That's their home,
Eric said, his icy blue eyes fixed on Marcos.
They know every rock and tree. To send us out there would be madness. And if we did go, who would be left here to protect the city? Would we send only half our forces up there? If so, they would most likely be ambushed, leaving the city barely able to put up a fight.
Marcos stood defiantly in front of the bench. He balled his fists at his side and looked from Eric to Rowan through narrowed eyes, though Colin couldn't tell if he intentionally narrowed them or if his bulging cheeks pushed them into slits.
We are surrounded, Sir Eric,
Marcos said in a growl.
They could hit us from all sides, and you just want us to sit here and wait on them?
If it were so easy to take the city, they would have done so years ago. Something has stopped them. Maybe they aren't the force you believe they are, Marcos.
Eric turned to Rowan and shook his head.
No, we dig in and defend our city. That's the best way, sir.
Colin stiffened. He pictured the army of Satos pouring through the gates and slashing the people as they fled. Even in his imagination, he didn't fight. Not as he did back when he dreamed of adventure as he buried the dead. Now he knew what he was. Marcos threw up his hands, returned to his table, and plopped into his seat.
War it is!
Rowan brought his rag to his mouth and let out a long, raspy cough that rattled his chair as his body shook. When he pulled the rag away, blood leaked onto his lips. He dabbed at it, put his hands on the edge of his desk, and pushed himself slowly to his feet.
Yes, Marcos. We have no other choice. I see no other way.
He looked out to the citizens in the galley.
My people, I'm sorry. I've failed you. When the enemy comes, I will be gone. But do not give up hope. The council will nominate one person.
He drew in a weary breath.
From each section of the city, and you will vote on my successor. They will lead you through this.
Rowan closed his eyes for a long moment.
First night, Captain Mann. Ready our forces. Have your men constantly on the perimeter and on guard.
He clutched his chest and appeared to fight back another cough.
There will be no sleep tonight or in the coming nights.